Welcome to First Bite, our Pride of Detroit midweek podcast, where we bring in a very special guest to talk all things Detroit Lions football. We're in the middle of our rookie breakdown series, episode 5, I believe, of it, Ryan, where we're going to be talking about Kirby Joseph. But before we get into that, let's get into introductions. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the editor-in-chief over at Pride of Detroit and your co-host for First Bite. With us is senior editor of Pride of Detroit at Ryan_POD on Twitter. Ryan Matthews, how are you doing tonight, Ryan?
I am doing well. I just mowed the lawn. I didn't get a chance to go to OTAs, so I'm very jealous of the jam-packed day that you had. But I'm excited to talk Kirby Joseph.
Yes, this is, I think, one of the picks that received some of the higher marks from Lions fans. Safety was a big need. Speaking of mixing OTAs and this podcast, Kirby Joseph had an interception today at OTA. So I'm kind of eager to talk a little bit more about him. And like I said, we like to bring in a guest. And in this series, we want to get experts on these Lions rookies. And this week is no different. We brought in the Illinois beat writer from the Champaign News Gazette, Bob Osmussen, is here with us. Bob, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. And yeah, you've been covering Illinois for quite some time. And so let's start at the beginning here with Kirby Joseph, because from my understanding, he was just kind of middle of the pack recruit, a guy who gets buried in, Florida always produces a lot of talent. He's kind of right in the middle of there, grew up in Florida, played both sides of the ball. So when the Illinois Fighting Illini land Kirby Joseph, what is the initial kind of reaction, if there even is one?
I think solid recruit.
Okay.
Of course, Lovie Smith went to Florida a lot for guys, so that was a popular destination for them recruiting wise. But he had some good offers. I think Syracuse and NC State, a couple of Florida schools, not Florida State, Florida, but I think FAU, maybe UCF might have been after. So he had some good offers, but not a top tier recruit, but certainly a talented kid that they thought could play fairly early, which turned out to be true.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk a little bit more about Kirby Joseph, the person, Bob. What sort of kind of person is he? Like, what's his demeanor like off the field?
I think bottom line, pretty good guy. And that's, easy to talk to. We didn't get him a whole lot as a media guy because most of his career, he wasn't like he was as a senior. He was not as productive. He was a special teams guy. Some had a couple of starts, but not a guy that you would see on the field all the time. And as he got more productive, got more involved in the defense, he became a guy that was popular when he came to talk. So he's a good talker. He always liked those guys. He's funny. He's friendly. He's a guy that you say, hey, can you give me a call or can I call you? And he's okay with that. So limited time with him was very positive.
And you mentioned he contributed right away in his freshman season. Was that mostly special teams, I imagine?
Correct. That mostly special teams. He was a player. That team, that was, I think, 18, they needed help.
They needed guys,
and all hands were on deck. So the freshman got thrown in there right away, and Kirby was up to the challenge, certainly on special teams, where he really made a mark. Further into his career, he got better and better at that too, and gradually worked his way on the defense. But yeah, he was a guy that you saw had talents right away. You could tell he's going to help them. Again, we didn't see them a whole lot during the practice time, see them for 5 minutes stretching and, a little light walkthrough, but you didn't know for sure. But then you saw him in the game and you said, okay, he's pretty good.
Was there a sense when he arrived on campus what side of the ball he was even playing in, or was it just kind of like, this is an athlete, they're going to find a spot for him?
What seemed like defense was inevitable, because if you think about that last head coach, Lovie Smith, his first thought was defense. So he looked at the guy that was versatile, was a three-sport guy in high school, ran track, played volleyball, which to me tells you a lot about him athletically. That's a sport that's not easy.
Yeah.
Sounds like pretty good at it too. So I think that they saw a guy that could help them in multiple spots. But I think even though he tried both, I think defense was always going to be his destination.
So, Bob, because you kind of said in less words, you know, he was a bit of a late bloomer in terms of his contributions at safety. You know, can you talk a little bit about what that maturation process was like, you know, bouncing around, playing some special teams, kind of all hands on deck early on? What kind of led him to being successful, you know, in the college ranks?
Well, I think ultimately the coaching change made a difference for him. I think if you look at his career, he would have, had Lovie Smith remained, Kirby would have played a lot as last year, in his fourth year. He would have played a lot. Would he have been as productive or as been a starter? I'm not sure. He only started two games under Lovie, so I don't think they valued him as much as the new guys. They got in, Ryan Walter saw him and said, okay, this guy can help us. And right away, you knew right away he was going to be an important part of the team. So I think he really bloomed once he got the new staff in. I think it was a second life, second chance for him, and he fully took advantage of it.
Well, I guess let's talk a little bit about that and what it may mean for his character. Because, I mean, you come into college, you're an immediate contributor on special teams. You probably think, well, I put in my dues my freshman year, get me on the field. That's probably a frustrating experience. So I guess what does it tell to you in terms of his character as someone who fought for those 3 years to get on the field and then, you know, finally break through that final senior season?
I think he's a high quality guy. I think the fact that he didn't sit there, at least publicly, and complain, didn't say I need to be on the field. It was just, he did his work and eventually his chance came and took advantage of it. So I think it tells you a lot about how, I guess, the stick-to-itiveness is really important. And in football, pro football especially, I would think that's a quality that coaches, scouts, ADs, general managers love, right?
Yeah.
A guy is willing to hang in there, do whatever it takes to get on the field is pretty valuable to me. So I really like that about him. I can say I was not surprised he became an impact player as a fifth or fourth year guy, but I was surprised at the level. So I thought he'd be a one or two big guy, make some tackles, but I didn't think it was going to be an all big team guy. So that, again, that probably talks to his character more than anything. In fact, he not only hung in there, but excelled as hanging in there.
So Bob, was there a moment at Illinois that it seemed to click for Kirby? Like, was there a point that, you know, he finally found his place? Like, I know you mentioned the coaching change really was what kind of settled him in, but was there a moment at Illinois where it was like, okay, this guy is an impact player at safety?
It's really funny. And it was on special teams. First game last year, they're playing Nebraska, their season over, week zero game, and he makes a tackle on a punt return, and it's a safety. And that was like they scored the first points of the season for anybody, and it set them up for a win, and that was a big deal for them. I think the fact that he was able to contribute right away, so you could see a change in him immediately. And I think early in the season last year, I think there were five or six games in a row, he had either a pick or a fumble recovery. So five games, not everybody does that.
Yeah.
Productive. But I think the Nebraska game, I think won the game, is a big deal here. It's Brett Bielema's first game as coach. It was a big deal. He was celebrated for that. I think it was special teams play of the week on the team. So it was a big deal and good for him to do that. But he kept it going on defense.
To back it up a little bit to the Lovie Smith era, I'm kind of curious as to why you think maybe he never really found that path to a starting job. I know they started, they played him a little bit at wide receiver. Like they were trying to find a spot. Was there like a log jam at safety where there just wasn't a roster spot there? Or was it just a matter of connecting the player with the right coach?
Yeah, there were other good players there. I wouldn't say a log jam. I think he got caught in the numbers a little bit. I think maybe second year, he would be a guy you would think would play more than he did. So I'm not sure. You know, again, we're not seeing practice. So we're not going to know what's going on behind the scenes. So maybe he didn't practice as well as he obviously did later in his career. Maybe Lovie didn't quite trust him. I'm not sure that was the case, but it could have been. Because Lovie was big into letting guys kind of earn the way. And again, that staff did not have a great deal of success. You got Kirby, maybe Kirby would have made a difference for them earlier, but they just didn't see it. But obviously the new coaches, they saw something. Turned him loose, and he became an All Big Ten guy. Again, kind of out of the blue, but good for him.
Yeah, and I guess just it's something that's kind of a theme for a lot of this Lions draft class, especially because of, you know, how much time a lot of them spent at school, because so far, a lot of the guys we've talked about so far, Bob, have been like 5-year players or 4-year players. Kirby, you know, with that third year in 2020 being the COVID season, the time where he spent some time playing wide receiver, and then he made the, you know, the big leap once the coaching change happened, like, did you see like a difference in him in terms of, you know, him just being more ready for football? Like you talk about how he was just kind of a good dude and you got to know a little bit more about him once he became a member of the defense in terms of a starter and things like that. But was there any change in once, I guess really the question is like from one coaching staff to another, what was the biggest, did you see any noticeable changes in him?
I think he's always a confident guy, believes in himself, but I think that change gave him another spark, gave him a chance to kind of reevaluate where he was and say, hey, these guys don't know my past. They just know me now. He took advantage of that. So I think the coaching change was a big deal. Now, these guys would love to have him next year, this coming year. They would have loved because another year. He couldn't come back. And for 22, they would have loved to have him back. I don't think they were counting on it because they thought he's got to go. He's going to be a second day guy. He should probably go, but they would have loved to have him back. I think his guy was, you know, his ability was only going to get better another year. Maybe it goes from where he got drafted to first round as a spirit there guy. So I think they would love to have him, but I think he was ready to go too.
Last question before we head to break. I'm kind of curious about the new coaching staff at Illinois and maybe people who don't really know the kind of person that Brett Bielema is or the defensive coordinator or defensive back coach. Why do you think it was that coaching staff that connected with Kirby so well? And maybe is it a testament to who they are as coaches? Does it testament to the kind of coaching that might work for Kirby Joseph specifically? Just if you could give kind of a background on what the coaching staff is like there.
Well, Brett Bielema has a defensive background, played defense in college, tried it in the pros, didn't quite make it. And he's coached defense his whole life. So I think that was important. So he was definitely pro defense. How about that? And then the position coach, Aaron Henry, former great player, Wisconsin, did a lot of good things with him and worked with them individually. And I think he really made a better play to play. And Ryan Walter, defense coordinator, got a big contract out of last year because they were so good. It was so much better than they had been in 2020. So it's just everything kind of worked well for him. I think he listened. I think he took coaching really well. Again, that's a positive sign. Ask me why I think it was smart for Detroit to draft him. I'll start with that he not only adjusted to the coaching change, but he excelled. So that tells me coachable, extremely coachable, which is why I think, and we'll talk about this later, he's a guy that's going to be able to play pretty early and help a lot.
That's a great tease for our second segment here. So stick with us. We're with Bob Asmussen of the Illinois Champaign News Gazette talking Kirby Joseph. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to First Bite, Kirby Joseph edition, where we're talking about the Lions' third round pick here with Bob Asmussen from the Illinois Champaign News Gazette. Let's get into kind of specifics about Kirby Joseph's play and maybe projections into how he'll translate into the NFL. And I guess my first question is just, we talked a little bit about it at the front. How was Kirby Joseph able to just turn things around so quickly? Because, you know, I even watched the first game I watched of his was the first one of the 2021 season, and it didn't go particularly well. He got, if I'm not mistaken, he got benched quite early on. So how does he turn that into a a season in which he was nearly, he was a day two pick. I mean, it seems like an incredible transition for a guy who had really nothing to show of before that game, had to work his way back into the starting lineup after that game, and then only had a limited amount of times to really make an impression.
I just think he found a way to be productive. He impressed the coaches, obviously, in practice, because they're not going to throw him back in there unless they're sure he's going to do the right things. And I think he must have done that. And again, we're not privy to seeing them in practice much, but these coaches are pretty serious about this stuff. And they make sure the guy is ready, and I think Kirby was ready. And maybe backwards, the downsides, maybe that helped him motivate him a little bit. I think, again, talking about character, when you get knocked down, there's two ways to go. He went the right way. So, again, it kind of speaks to his overall self-confidence, which is not, I don't think he's a cocky guy, but I think he definitely believes in Kirby. So that's a good thing. I think I want players like that. I want players that have fun, but also know the seriousness of the game. I think he gets that part too.
Yeah, and to Jeremy's point, I mean, the guy ends up second team all Big Ten. He led the team in interceptions. Like you said in that first segment, Bob, he records that safety on special teams. So he really, like we've kind of talked about all podcast long, he's put it together in the senior season. I want to talk about like those five interceptions, and I think he had seven passes defended on top of that. Oftentimes, we'll see interceptions be like just right place, right time kind of guy. What about Kirby's instincts playing safety led to, you know, five interceptions and seven passes defended? Because that's a really impressive number.
And three fumble recoveries, which I think led the nation.
Yeah, having a nose for the ball, right?
Well, that's exactly what it is. He has a nose for the ball. And maybe in a crazy way, maybe this time a receiver helped him. Maybe he's able to see the other side, kind of know where that guy's going to be, what he's going to do. He just seemed to have the right instincts. And again, I don't think he was perfect last year. Obviously, he was had some moments, down moments early in the year, but I think he got better. And by the end of the season, he was playing at a high level. He was helping them win games. They just missed a bowl, and I think if they win one more game, go to bowl, he would have been a big part of that reason. So I just think it's instinct and knowing where the ball is and paying attention. And again, it talks to coachability because he clearly watched film, knew what was going on in the games, knew who to pay attention to. I think my memory is a couple of those times he just stepped in front of the guy. So it was clear he'd done his homework. So he would step in front of the guy and the ball's his. So that's kind of cool. That's what you want.
Yeah, you always want smart players. The one thing that jumped out to me too is that athleticism, right? Like the sideline to sideline range, and it's why, at least in my opinion, why Illinois kind of had him as that deep one safety is because they trusted him to be able to get to anything at any point on the field. So I guess my question though is what is his kind of what's his ability to grow beyond that, because it's one thing to play, you know, deep safety. You're the single high, don't let anything get by you. Safety in the NFL is about doing a lot more than just that. So do you have confidence in his ability to kind of go outside of that window where you're just playing the deep middle?
Yeah, I think so. I think again, athleticism is important. So this guy that played volleyball, ran track and played football, he's got some skills beyond the standard football stuff. So I think that's a good thing. I think the fact that he got better. Now, I don't think he's done growing. He's still a young guy. Yeah. I don't think he turns 21 until 22 until later in the year. I'm trying to remember when his birthday is. But he's still young. So, another year here would have been a big difference. It would have been more productive even still. But I think he's just getting started. I think maybe sitting down and we're not playing a ton the first 3 years turned out to be a motivator and also a thing that will help him down the road because there's not a lot of mileage on him. So he's done a lot of hitting, but not more too much hitting. How about that? So I think he's ready to go. And I think, again, I think he'll be a contributor right away.
Yeah. And to that point, you know, the idea of him primarily playing that single deep high safety, was it just a product of
you know, where he fit nicely in the Illini scheme, rather than having him play, you know, more up and close to the line of scrimmage. I mean, he still had 57 tackles and he had a sack and a tackle for a loss. So was that just a product of where the Illini wanted to put him versus, you know, what you think he can do maybe on Sundays?
No, I think it's where they felt he was best serving them. So they weren't real worried about his pro feature. They just wanted to get him on the field in the most productive place. And that was there. Clearly, and they had some good skill in that position. So he was not the only guy, playing an important roles. But he was better suited for that than the other guys. So I think it just was perfect fit for him. Worked out well for him. First team All Big Ten. Had a great year. Had 5 picks, 3 fumble recoveries. So I think it really worked out for him. They saw where he could help them best. He did that.
Did you get to see him do a lot more than kind of the deep high stuff? Like, was he on a lot of man to man sort of stuff? Did he come down and tackle? Was he a good run defender during his time in Illinois?
He was a good run defender, but the other guy at safety started Sidney Brown, who was been there a long time. He was more of that guy.
Yeah,
I think not as much was asked of Kirby. So maybe again, he could probably do anything you asked him to do. But I think he was better suited for him and that defense to play where he was. So I think Sidney Brown was better suited for the role he had in Kirby. They said, wow, well, remember the Illinois defense in 2020 was dreadful. It went from dreadful to getting their coach $1 million contract. So he did some good work. And Kirby is probably owed some of that money from Brian. they did some good work coaching staff. And it was a big deal. And they were so much better defensively than they had been previously. So, again, I gave them a ton of credit.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, as we kind of move into what our expectations are for Kirby on Sundays, we've talked so much, you have, Bob, about, you know, special teams and making his way, you know, eventually to playing that deep safety role in 2021 and really, you know, elevating himself to where he eventually got drafted. But you know, I'm looking right now at some stats and 407 snaps on special teams and 16 tackles in his career. So I think it goes without saying that the Lions have an immediate contributor at special teams. How long do you think it will take Kirby to maybe grow into a safety who can play on maybe all 3 downs?
That's a great question. Obviously, that's something the Lions want to know. I want to know.
For sure.
The lineup there eventually. But yeah, I think it, you know, could be this year. I doubt it. I mean, I don't think that'll be the case. But you think a year or two in, he'll have a better chance. I mean, you're right about special teams. He's going to play right away. He's going to have to. He's got to earn his paycheck, but I think that he will do that because he did that at Illinois. He earned a scholarship by being a contributor on special teams from the jump. First play, he was there. So I think he will have a chance. I think year two will be when I would expect him to get more time on defense. I think year three. I will be very surprised if he's not in the lineup by year 3. That's crazy, but that's probably right.
And that makes a lot of sense with, I think, what the Lions' timeline is in terms of their current roster, right? They have Deshaun Elliott to kind of help them. We talk about a bridge quarterback all the time. Deshaun Elliott could very much serve as a bridge safety until Kirby Joseph is ready. And then, I mean, I know this is a hard question to ask of you, especially since you really only got to see Kirby Joseph play one full season at safety, but where do you think this guy's ceiling is, given that he was able to grow so much just in 1 year?
He's so productive. So I think, could he be an all-pro guy? Again, that's a stretch, but I think regular in the NFL for several years. And then I'll give you a guy that's comparable. They're different style-wise, different size-wise. Tavon Wilson played at Illinois.
Sure.
Was a second-round draft pick back in the day. Had a long career and might still be playing, actually. But they are similar in terms of kind of what they did, where they came from, and how they were perceived as recruits. So kind of middle-of-the-road guys that became really important players, really valuable players in Illinois. He didn't have quite the production in college that Tavon did, but I think there's some similarities there. So I would ask people, look them up, look up Tavon. They remind me of each other. I think Kirby's a little louder. Tavon was, but other than on the field, they're fairly similar.
Yeah, Lions fans are pretty familiar with Tavon Wilson, right, Jeremy? 4 years Tavon in Detroit. So, yeah.
Good guy.
Kind of on the other end of the spectrum there, like, do you think he's kind of a high floor player given that he can, one, immediately kind of contribute on special teams, and two, because he is such a fast learner, he'll, you know, at the very least be, you know, someone that they can rely on to fill in. If he never reaches his full potential as a starter, a guy that will work hard to kind of make the most of his opportunities like he did in Illinois.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Again, I like his work ethic. I like that stuff. I like the fact that he hung in there because he didn't have to. You know, there are a lot of people transferring after Levy left. Yeah. He got better. And that, to me, is the ultimate sign of what the guy has potentially. And he's, again, still young, not 22 yet. So he's, you know, he's a younger guy. And I think the sky's the limit for him in terms of what he can do long-term wise.
I think it's kind of tough to ask you this question, Bob, because we typically ask all of our guests that we have on here for, like, what's the most memorable play that the player made in their college career. And, you know, you talked about that that play as a gunner making the safety against Nebraska. Is there another play during Kirby Joseph's career that stood out to you as, like, hey, that's the play that guy can make on Sundays?
I can't remember which game it was, but his first pick. I think there was a little bit of maybe almost 3-4 celebration on that. I can't remember what it was. Fairly early in the season, might have been against Virginia, but it was one of those things. You go like, okay, again, he found the ball. I don't think it was might have been the first of his career. Actually, I don't think he had. I think that's right. I don't think he had any before last year. So I think that was a big deal. I'd go back to that.
All right. Well, that's Bob Osmussen. Let's give you the floor here to end the show, to tell the people where they can find you. Maybe if you've written anything specifically about Kirby Joseph or anything else that Lions fans might be interested in, let them know.
We love the Lions here, of course. My boss is a huge Lions fan. So
nice.
You'll be so jealous I'm on here. I'll be heartbroken that I'm on here. Go to LionIHQ.com. So I write football mostly, and that's where I'm writing. I wrote about Kirby probably a month ago after the draft, and I've written about him quite a bit over the years. But yeah, LionIHQ.com.
Awesome. And you can find him on Twitter at Bob Osmussen. Bob, really appreciate your time. Great insight, as always, onto Kirby Joseph. And we hope you maybe join us again soon once he's wearing a gold jacket.
When he's playing, I'm in. How about that?
Thanks, all right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. And who's next on our list, Ryan?
Josh Pascal.
We're all the way up to Josh Pascal. So we'll be covering him next week. But until then, thank you all for watching. Appreciate your time. And as always, it's chaos. Be kind.